turn with us to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2.
Luke chapter 2. We know some of y'all ain't finished your shopping. I'm not. Holy Spirit, unless he has other designs, won't keep you too long this Sunday morning on this Christmas Eve. We just so excited that you came into the house. Amen? Amen. And we won't be here too much longer. Amen. But we're going to celebrate Jesus. Amen? Amen. I have accidentally, Erica, stumbled onto a series. It's not very often that I begin with or anticipate or start off with a desire to preach a series. I just follow and connect the dots. Amen? And if you connect the dots in Scripture, they all will tie together. I know some of my colleagues will start off with by preaching a series of sermons. Some of them have to do it because they can only preach for 20 minutes, and so they can't do but one point a Sunday. And so that's why they have to do a series of Sundays to do one sermon, amen, in an attempt to make service fast lane, fast food, amen. But we have certainly stumbled upon the series based upon the Word of God. You're going to find in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Find these words. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first with Cyrenius, was governor of Syria, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And it came to pass that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Repeat after me, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Amen. I want to talk this Christmas Eve from the subject, born is the King of Israel. Born is the King of Israel. Let me again tell you again that I stumbled upon this series of sermons, not intending or planning to, but just as I continued to read and continued to study, I kept seeing this theme and this repetition and these same four words, the house of David. We started off 3 weeks ago from Isaiah 9, looking at the prophecy of Jesus. We read in Isaiah 9 that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, it says, upon the throne of David. In other translations, it will say, he will be of the house of David. And in Zechariah 12, we read again, the Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than of Judah, than that of Judah. And that day the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, and the house of David will be like God. In Luke 2, in Isaiah 9, and Zechariah 12, we see that the Messiah, the baby born on Christmas, must be from the house of David. In the Old Testament prophecies, they all suggest to us that when you want to see who the Messiah is, when you want to see when he will come, if you want to get some understanding of what he will be like and where he will be from, that he hath to come from the house of David. And then that is then further explained in Matthew when he tells us in his gospel, beginning with that this genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He again says this genealogy of Jesus as Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then, of course, Matthew would then tie him through those generations back all the way to David and then even to Abraham, saying that he is both the son of God and he is the son of man. And then basing upon the fact that the prophecies of the Old Testament say that he has to come from the house of David. And so the question that begs of us is why? Why? Why does the Messiah, why does the Anointed One, before anyone began saying that he is the son of man or the son of God, that he's actually God's son or that he's actually Emmanuel, why do they all declare that he has to come from the house of David? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you came this Sunday morning to find out. Amen? Amen. Let me give you a little history lesson, a very brief one, this Sunday morning. Remember that after the children of Israel got to the promised land, once they had crossed over the river Jordan, after they went to the land of milk and honey. Remember, they asked God for a king. They asked God for a king, even though God said, you don't need a king, that I am your king. And the reason why they asked God for a king is because everybody else around them had kings. And so they were beginning to engage in what we call geopolitics, making treaties and making deals with other nations, where God actually told them to stay to themselves. And nobody won't say nothing. That's right. History class. So they asked God for a king. God says, you don't need no king. I am your king. Don't get a king. You don't want a king. All right, y'all want one? I'm going to give you one. So he gives them Saul. Saul, remember, starts off as a very good, kind of benevolent king, but then, like most people with power, power corrupts. I said, like most people. All y'all supervisors up in here. Power corrupts. And Saul got corrupted, all right? And then he made David, his little godson, the general of his armies. And you know what happened. General David began kicking everybody's tail around, and everybody began to love David and forgot Saul. And Saul gets jealous of David. Saul wants to kill David. And the time he's trying to kill David, unfortunately, his son Jonathan gets killed. Be very careful what you ask for. But also be very careful of a jealous spirit and a jealous heart. Amen? I want to remind you all again, as I believe through the word of God, that when someone is jealous of you, they're really mad at God. So you go on and be humble and be at peace. And don't worry about your haters hating you on you. Because really, they really ain't mad at you. They're mad at God because God has not blessed you the way that he has not blessed them the way that he's blessed you. The problem is that everybody here has a blessing and blessings to offer. I wish I had a witness up here on Christmas Eve. So ain't no need for me to be jealous of you because you're tall, dark, and handsome. She does light, short, light, and cute. She got tricked. So he gives them Saul. Saul turns out to be a bad king, and Saul dies. And because of how monarchies work, the heir to the throne is not David. The heir to the throne is one of Saul's sons by the name of Ishbael. And when Saul dies and when Ishbael becomes king, two of the southern tribes in Judah split. They secede from the union. And David becomes king of Judah. And Ishmael becomes king of Israel. And then a little small civil war ensues. And, of course, David wins. What the people already knew is that David was a better warrior and general anyhow. And David wanted to have a peace accord with Ishmael. But because Ishmael had that jealous spirit like of his father, he couldn't see what David was trying to do for him. And every now and then we're so blinded by power, we're so blinded by position, we can't even tell when people are trying to help you in your position. And so some of us who got power and positions and little title, you know, you're only as smart as the people around you. Say that on this side. A president is only as good as his advisors. If you got racist advisors, you won't be a racist president. If you got sexual harassing advisors, keep us holy, we pray. And so he tries to make this deal with Ishbael, but Ishbael wasn't hearing about it. The two nations began warring. Of course, Judah with two tribes defeats Israel with 10 tribes. And the people say again, we want David to be our king. We want David to be our king. They had already wanted David from day one. But Ishbael and his people would not make a deal with David and see God's handwriting on the wall. And it was David who then united the two kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And that's how they become the United Kingdom of Israel. It is David, from day one, who was the shepherd boy, who was in his father's fields, attending his father's flock. That prophet came looking for a king out of David's or Jesse's sons. If you remember the story, he didn't even bring David the runt, the baby boy, up to the interview. Nathan didn't get a good spirit out of the other boys. And he asked, are you sure that you brought all your sons? And he has to confess, no, I left one in the fields tending the flock. He said, well, let me meet that boy. And when he met David, he felt David's spirit. Sometimes you ain't got to open up your mouth. Sometimes you ain't got to say a word or bake a cake. Somebody can just tell from your smile and your spirit that you are God's child and that there's something special within you. You know early on with your children that there's something special in that child, and you continue to pour and pour and pour because you know that God's got his hand on them. So that's why the Bible says that the Messiah has to come from the house and lineage of David, simply because David is a uniter and not a divider. The Messiah, the anointed one, the baby boy Jesus, the one that came to save us and to unite us, he has to be of David's house and of his lineage. It's because David brought people who were apart together. And that is what Jesus does. And that is what the Christmas season is all about. Bringing people together. Because it's very interesting. Even those persons who don't believe in Jesus, our other friends in the other religious communities, they're going to take your gift. I have employees who are not Christian. I'm not. Don't sue me for discriminating. But they take their Christmas days off. Can I get a witness? They take that Christmas bonus and I put on their check, Christmas bonus, and highlight it. They don't give it back. Because they hate Christian and don't believe in Christmas. Because something about this season, even the spirit of it, the joy of it, even if you don't believe in the baby, you get all the benefits. Can I get a witness? You get all the benefits. Even those atheists who don't want their children to pray in school, they don't send them to school tomorrow on Monday. Nobody won't say nothing. They're going to take all the benefits that this little baby boy has to offer. Let me tell you, I like what this word says. He says, first of all, that he's got to come from the house of David. He says he's got to come from the house of David, that he's got to be in inside the house of David. And I don't know about you, but every now and then you need just to pause and thank God that you're in the house. Now, I ain't talking about in this house, in this four-wall structure, but that you're just in the house of the Lord. And I come from that old school that when the street light came on, all the mamas, Miss Wesley and Miss Holmes, all the mamas came outside when the street light came on. And when the street light came on, the mama came outside, and you know that it was time to be in the house. Mama didn't text you. Mama didn't tweet you. Mama didn't even have to yell. But you just knew that when the light came on. I wish I had a witness up in here. That when the light came on, it was time. Anybody a witness that you remember? You grew up on the street with the street. It was time to go in the house. And old school, not old school, but rich school mamas had dinner on the table. When you got in the house, it wasn't no running to Mrs. Pickett. It wasn't no curbside and Outback. Ain't nobody text Pizza Hut. But when you got in the house, there was a table. I wish I had a witness and somebody understand what I'm trying to tell you. But when you got in the house, the table was already prepared for you. And I got somebody who understands that when you get in God's house, there will be a table prepared for you with all of God's riches and blessing. Once you get in the house, sorry, I got a slow congregation. I'm going to try it one more again. Somebody going to get it on the right side, Lord. He's going to come from David's bloodline. He's going to be of the lineage of David. He's going to be hereditary. There's going to be genetics. And the only way to tell genetics is by the blood. When they want to find out if you somebody's child or not, they don't take no toenail. They might can take some hair, but my pelvis gonna want your. And they're gonna do a blood test, and the blood test is gonna tell you whether you are that person's father or not. Before you go run off the stage. And don't know how it happened that they ain't the daddy and you ain't been to nobody else but him. There is a blood test. And the blood, I say the blood, I say it's the blood. The blood is what ties you to your father. I'm out of here, church. May the Lord bless you and keep you real well. Thank you.